Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So very excited about the guest that we have today. You know, a guest that, has been through the ringer, but, you know, now they're definitely doing incredible stuff. I mean, obviously, there's not such thing as a straight line, you know, the ups and downs. And I think that today's story is really remarkable, very inspiring. And we're going to be touching on rejections, you know, from the likes of Steve Jobs, also Mark Cuban, Crazy Pivots, and also what they're doing right now, you know, in the fintech world. But again, you know, super, super cool journey and story that we have in front of us with the building, the scaling, the financing, and all of the above. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Joe Byen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
So originally born in Cameroon, in Africa, but you moved to Paris quite early on. So give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up?
Born in Cameroon, my aunt, you know, I was living with my mom there, but my aunt decided to that it would be better for me to have a European education. So, I moved to Paris to live with her. So I was, I was actually a pretty solo life. You know, I had to fend up for myself from a very young age. And, so growing up in France was a lot of fun, was exciting. And, a small story that's going to enlighten a little bit that journey is the fact that, you know, I was taught chess at age 7 in a camp, and I won the tournament, you know, and just like that. So I became very excited about strategy games. You know, I ended up playing a lot of, not only chess, but Populus or SimCities or whatnot. And that really, really got me into not only enjoying strategy at all, but understanding the power of focus. Because some of those games, you know, if you, for instance, put all the villagers to do one single task, you know, you would win the game faster. And I realized that in business, it's the exact same thing. If you focus on a single item at a time, if you focus on multi-goaling instead of multi-tasking, actually, you're able to progress faster. So yeah, so games actually helped me a lot in my business career. So I played a lot of games. Then I was able to, I always wanted to come study here in the United States. So as a senior in high school, I decided to run track. And I was fortunate enough to be pretty fast. And I ended up finishing 5th at the French Junior Nationals. And to make a story short, that's what booked my ticket here to the United States.
Why the U.S.? Like, out of all places, like, what got you hooked into the idea of coming to the U.S.?
Opportunities, right? And also, to be frank, it's actually better to be black, you know, in the United States than black in France. You know, in terms of opportunities, you know, there's a ceiling over there. It's a lot tougher to have opportunities. You know, for instance, even my cousin was working at Microsoft in France. He couldn't go higher in the ranks out there, and they recruited him in the United States from France, you know, to give him opportunities. So, you know, yeah, the main reason I came to the United States is to give myself my creative mind, you know, an opportunity to really expand as much as possible, and the U.S. was the place for that.
So obviously you had the you were running, you know, you were quite a fast runner, you know, as you were saying, you ranked 5th in the nationals there. I guess the whole competitiveness and that competitive spirit, how do you think that has shaped up who you are?
This has been a critical aspect of not only my personality but my relentlessness. I just simply don't give up. You know, no is not an answer. And, I'm incredibly tenacious. And also I've learned over the years, you know, to really embrace the downs, you know, as learning opportunities. And one thing that I've learned from Kobe Bryant, at one point he shared that, losing is great, you know, because it's an opportunity to get better. So I didn't understand what he meant. until a few years ago. And when I really realized that if you really embrace those challenges as an opportunity to become the best version of yourself, that will lead to better outcomes. So, essentially powering through, not only powering through, but whenever life is challenging, I have the tendency to become not only extremely resourceful, but, you know, over the story that I'm going to share later on today, you know, when things are tough, you know, what I do outside of work in terms of physical exercise is much harder. You know, I average 9-10 miles a day. You know, I work out, lift, you know, four times a week. You know, the effort, the physical effort, the strenuous effort that I put myself into on a weekly basis are much harder than work. For instance, even the morning example, you know, when we ended up closing our deal with MasterCard, I ended up doing a 27-mile hike, and I did it to bring myself back down to earth, you know, just to remind myself that life is not easy. So pushing myself physically to the extreme, you know, enables me to really embrace challenges pretty seamlessly. What I do as work, at, you know, my personal life is much more harder than work in general. So whenever life throw, a lot of challenges at me, I have the tendency to sweat it down pretty easily nowadays.
So then let's talk about now coming to the US, because you came to the University of Miami, and there you were blending finance and marketing. And obviously you were still running. I mean, you even ran for Cameroon, but right before the Olympics, you know, in 2004, you get injured. Now, during that time, you know, there was a train ride, you know, that you were in, and I'm sure that everything was going through your mind. But that train ride also, not only the injury was life-changing, but also that train ride. Why was that the case?
Well, you know, it's, as always, when one door closes, another one opens. And it was very disappointing. I worked so many years, you know, to make it to the Olympics. And I was pretty much devastated. And I had no idea what would be the next stage of my life. No idea. You know, I had a finance degree, international finance degree, but I had no idea what job I would do, where I would I was completely, clueless about my future and afraid to a certain extent. And something miraculous happened. You know, I had to change train card at least four times for a variety of reasons. I was sitting in someone else's seat, and then I ended up with a card with a bunch of kids on vacation making a lot of noise. And I settled on a card with just one person with long hair, you know, that was working on his computer. And I was just very curious. And I sat down, fell asleep for about an hour, woke up, and he was still in the same position working his computer. And I asked him, so very curious, curiosity, very important, say, hey, what are you working on? And he shared with me that, you know, they have a small startup in a city called Clermont-Ferrand, which was my club team as well. And which is also, by the way, as an anecdote, it's the hometown of a Michelin tire, but it's for people to know. But anyways, so he told me that they built an amazing technology that was decades ahead of their time, and that enables essentially artists to paint mathematics. You know, if you want to know more details about it, I'd be happy to share. But I was completely fascinated, and I asked him, you know, I'm a marketing and finance major because I was, you know, maybe I can help you out. And he ended up telling me that his boss was picking up at the train station, and that I should just talk to him and see, you know, here we are at the train station. I meet Sébastien Degui, the CEO and founder of Algorithmic. And I told him, hey, you know, can I come to your office and learn about new technology and possibly help you? He said, sure. So I went there and he spent the next eight weeks learning everything about procedural textures, about special effects for After Effects and Photoshop and whatnot. And they liked, you know, the fact that I was a quick learner, and they gave me the job. So I flew back to Miami, you know, put all my luggages in my car, all my life in my car, and drove from Miami across country to Los Angeles to begin as a business developer for Algorithmic, which became my first job ever. And Algorithmic is another fantastic story. You know, Sébastien ended up selling Algorithmic to Adobe in 2019, one of the largest acquisitions in France. And he also won the Oscar for technological achievement last year, and he invited me as well. And he's also an investor in Grow. Amazing story. And all the technology from Allegorithmic is embedded in all the current special movies from the Avengers. I mean, you name it. And 99.9% of all games uses Allegorithmic's texture in the world today. So amazing story. And he inspired me a lot to also remain relentless, because he had to go through a really tough time over 14, 15 years before selling his company to Adobe.
Now, obviously there you were exposed to, you know, a remarkable journey, you know, obviously crystallizing with the acquisition from Adobe. But in your case, you know, around that time of the acquisition happening, it was the time where you decided that it was your time to shine and your time to take over, you know, creating your own future with ICS Mobile. Now, with ICS Mobile, it was quite a wild ride. So walk us through, how was the process of you thinking through this and then being like, okay, it's time to do this thing. Let's do it.
All right. So in terms of timing, you know, I left Allegorithmic in 2007, you know, and so let's go back to 2007, even though Sebastian and I remain in contact, or still good friends, as I mentioned, as an investor in Grow. So in 2007, you know, I decided to that it was time for me to become a founder. So I launched ICS Mobile, which initially was focusing on launching a mobile ad network, a video mobile ad network. And at that time, we developed one of the first technology which enables us to push video ads on mobile devices. It was completely brand new, you know, at the time. And one of the other company, I forgot the name, of that company, but actually the founder is an investor, ended up becoming an investor in Grow as well. But it was a very nascent industry. And so we spent an entire year trying to raise money, you know, for that company. And it was in 2007, 2008, things were pretty hard to raise money. It was really a challenging time to raise money. And I was forced to essentially pivot, you know, because the iPhone, you know, launched and became popular. And this is when I told one of my partner that, hey, let's pivot. You know, I have a gaming background, because I was, I was COO at a company called Infusio Games, you know, right before launching ICS Mobile. That was really the pivot. So from Allegorithmic to Infusio Games, and then I left Infusio Games to launch ICS Mobile. So that's a little bit of the story here. And then because of that experience, you know, I had a gaming background, and I decided to launch video games for iPhone. And that was in 2008. And, you know, from that point on, not only video games and apps. And in 2008, you know, we were on the verge of launching one app called iBubble, you know, which was a bubble heads, right, you know, that was representing, you know, Palin, Obama, McCain, and whatnot. And we were planning on selling those bubble heads for $1 a pop. And we were rejected by Apple. You know, they said that, you know, they didn't allow caricature back then. And of course, I was really upset. And I ended up, you know, my business partner told me that Steve Jobs usually replied to his email. And I emailed directly Steve Jobs and explained him why we should be allowed. And he replied to me with a one-liner saying, you should spend your time writing better apps. Oof, that's it. So we got rejected, and we were a little bit devastated from that. But that rejection led us to focus on, first of all, developing game, and essentially led us to also pivot towards launching freeappaday.com. So if you had been successful with those bubble heads, we would have never landed with freeappaday.com, which became one of the largest iOS app marketing platform in the world. You know, we ended up with 12 million users, $80 million in revenue in 3 years. We worked with EA, Zynga, Groupon, you name it, anyone who's anyone, you know, was working with us at one point. And we were leveraging push notification to promote apps in the App Store. So, you know, developers came to us and we sent a push notification to our audiences, and that the app will land on top of the App Store, often number one, within 6 to 7 hours. Really great business, you know, did really well for 3.5 years until Apple decided to change the rules of the App Store to prevent apps from using push notification to promote other apps. So we went from generating $500,000 to $1 million a month to nothing pretty much instantly. So that was that unfortunate you know story. But again, that's what ended up leading us to eventually grow credit. So.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard. And already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So obviously, you know, you guys were doing pretty well, but then all of a sudden, like almost overnight, you know, you guys need to shut down the business. I mean, I'm sure that was very difficult for you. I mean, how was that to process? Because I mean, from doing very well and then all of a sudden, like you find yourself like, oh my God, you know, like now we have nothing, we're shutting down. What's next? What am I going to do? Walk us through how was that emotionally for you as well?
Emotionally, that was extremely tough. You know, keep in mind, you know, I'm a competitor. I like to be number one. And I went from being number one to zero. You know, so even though what's amazing is the fact that even though financially I was completely, you know, safe financially, you know, mentally, it was devastating. I couldn't sleep for the 6 months. You know, I had nightmares waking up, you know, thinking, no, that didn't happen. It was mentally one of the most challenging, keep in mind that also our platform was helping indie developers get their paid apps promoted, their apps promoted for free, not for free or for cheap. We had a rev share business model where we enabled indie developers to really make a lot of money through us. And we also had enabling kids with no money to get paid apps for free. So it was a good mission. It was not only about me and the company doing well. We were helping, literally, we helped over 3,000 developers, you know, promote their apps, generate more income, and millions of kids around the world get paid apps for free. So it was devastating, the mission, because the mission ended. The mission that was doing a lot of good ended. That's why it was also devastating.
So obviously, you know, you either succeed or you learn. So I'm sure that the lessons that you took from you, you know, were really valuable, and especially for what you ended up doing with Grow Credit. Now, Grow Credit, which is your baby now, what you're pushing, a rocket ship, you know, you guys have gone through multiple iterations and multiple pivots to be able to adjust to where the market or what the market was requesting from you. So how were those transitions, you know, for or those pivots for you to be like, okay, I think we got it now?
That's a great story. So really quick, right? You know, Grow Credit started as a pivot of, you know, it was four pivot. We went from Lenny Credit to Lenny Bike to Credit Plus to Grow Credit. And it's been a 10-year long journey, 10 years of my life. You know, we're entering the 10th year. You know, the way it started was, you know, when Free App A Day ended, I ended up working as an EIR at Science Inc., the VC fund in Santa Monica, famous for our seed-funded dollar ship club, and doing really well with Liquid Death, you know, as of late. You know, and in 2014, I mean, I was there because, you know, they did not have a lot of expertise with the, you know, mobile acquisition on mobile. So I was helping them on that front. But while I was there, I was just learning how their company was structured in the sense that they were really good at hiring a lot of great talent. And that's the biggest lesson that I've learned from Science Inc. is the importance of really hiring the best of the best to be surrounded by the best of the best. In 2014, fintech became very popular with Acorns, Venmo, Robinhood, and whatnot. And this is when I thought about, how can I leverage fintech to help my younger self? You know, because when I moved out here, I had no idea about credit score, credit card, FICO, nothing. You know, I was offered a card at Miami. I used the card. I was late here and there without understanding the consequences of being late. And when I had to buy my first car, of course, I had terrible credit score, very expensive. And it took me overall 4 or 5 years to rebuild my credit. So that left a bitter taste in my mouth. And not only that, I thought it was because I was a foreigner that I was in that predicament, but that wasn't the case. A lot of my American friends also had no clue. You know, banks gave them, you know, credit cards like candy. They used it. They were late. And everybody had to start from ground zero and had to work hard to rebuild their credit. And I thought we could do better. So I launched Lenny Credit in January of 2015, and the goal was to extend microloans to students and millennials and to offer them credit score education and free FICO score. I was able to partner with FICO, and again, to offer consumers free FICO score and free credit score education. And we were able to extend microloans of $100 up to $500, you know, to our consumers. And we noticed that a small dollar loan was powerful enough, you know, to boost credit score pretty significantly for consumers who, you know, had no credit or thin files. So we, the platform did well. You know, the Bank of Joe was financing the loans because, I mean, I was completely new. I had no experience in lending, even though I was a finance major, no experience in lending or banking. I was a really clean state, which was actually an advantage, which really enabled me to create because I didn't know what was good or what was wrong. So I was really going there in a complete with a complete blank slate. You know, sadly, we were too early for the market and banks had no idea of what we were doing. We were leveraging Plaid to underwrite consumers, you know, leveraging their banking account transaction history. We were very early with that method of underwriting. But by the time we needed to scale and raise debt financing, you know, we didn't have any takers. You know, really banks were, you know, wanted us to have a longer portfolio history before extending us, you know, a line of credit or a debt facility. And I ran out of cash. This was one of the toughest, you know, time of my life. You know, in 2017, I just literally ran out of cash. It started with when we had the opportunity to both raise a large seed round and a large debt financing round, disaster really happened. You know, I connected with a Mark Cuban, you know, February of 2017, and we were talking for 8 weeks. He was on the verge of investing, you know, in Lenny Credit. And right before we were supposed to sign the deal on my birthday, mind you, which was April 8th, by the way, 2 days ago, he pulled out. We had around, I thought, about $8 million in a combination of equity and debt round, and we ended up with nothing. I mean, zero. And the reason why I pulled out was is a good experience for our listeners here, right? Is the fact that I trusted experience over my instincts. And which was at the time, I realized that, you know, your instincts are most of the time right. You know, our VP of finance wanted to change the terms of the deal at the last minute. And I didn't think it was a good idea for a variety of reasons. It was just like a really a change of thing from 1 point or 2 points, something insignificant. And I told her, I don't think it's right, but she had a decade, more than a decade of experience, you know, making those deals. So I basically, you know, I was scared, fear. And that's the case where I was scared to make mistakes. And that's also the learnings that fear is dangerous. You know, because I was scared to trust myself and I, you know, extended my trust to someone that had more experience. And as a result, you know, when Mark Cuban heard about that small little change, he decided to pull out. Mm. You know, but the mistakes was my own, because at the end of the day, I'm the CEO, I'm the founder, you know. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for this. But the learnings from that experience is that you have to trust your instincts all the time.
I mean, you guys ended up doing pretty well because, I mean, you've raised about $120 million, and that's a combination of both equity and debt. So walk us through how, for a business like Grow Credit, you know, how you go and how you think about debt versus equity and how the process of raising money for both works.
Yeah, so, we ended up raising, following that story, we ended up raising $120 million. Our last round was led by USAA, where we raised $20 million from them. You know, our equity round was led by Arena Investors. They've been fantastic with us. And the way our business operates, the debt facility is mainly earmarked, you know, towards our lending operations. You know, that's really where we're using the funds to be able to scale pretty seamlessly without having to raise an equity round. And the equity is really leveraged, you know, towards growth and of course, you know, our business operation, hiring and whatnot. So that's the mix, the debt, you know, to equity mix. You know, once for really earmarked for growing the team, marketing, and the other one is to really scale the lending operations.
So as obviously when it comes to investors, vision is a big one. So if you were to go to sleep tonight, Joe, and you wake up in a world where the vision of Grow Credit is fully realized, what does that world look like?
So the world looks like we are embedded in all fintech, most fintech apps, all fintech apps, and within all banks. And that vision is already materializing. You know, we completed a partnership with Wells Fargo. It was in the news about 2 months ago. You know, as I mentioned, USA led our Series A round. We have another massive insurance companies that we signed a marketing deal with. You know, we have another massive mortgage company, the two of the biggest mortgage companies that also signed a deal with us. And the pivot that we did with Grow, we went from being a B2C platform to transforming into a B2B2C platform. You know, we developed an API where our bank partners, you know, and fintechs can offer our loans, you know, to, you know, their user base and help them establish and build credit at the same time. And again, what is unique about Grow Credit is the fact that we have a free plan. We are enabling consumers to build and establish credit by leveraging the Netflix account, Hulu accounts, and their cell phone plans. And most importantly, we're able to do it for free. You know, if you have a Spotify account, $2.99, we are enabling consumers to establish and build credit, which is massively important, you know, in the United States. And we've been able to extend that capabilities to all our partners who are integrating, you know, the Grow API within their platform. And most importantly, in terms of creativity, we launched Pay with Grow, which is essentially PayPal for subscriptions that builds credit. And it's a completely novel system which enables subscription to become a dual purpose, to basically have a dual purpose service, in the sense that now, you know, when users sign up for Netflix, I mean, soon for Netflix, they will be able to instantly build credit with a Netflix account. And that's completely new, never existed before. And we have some major partners that we're expected to launch, you know, of the coming months. And yeah, so that's the two novel way, basically PayPal for subscriptions and embedded credit building, you know, for banks and fintechs. So that's the two areas that we're expanding in, and that's, and we're already getting a lot of traction. And we expect that, you know, within the next decade, we should be pervasive everywhere.
So let's say now, you know, I'm able to bring you back in time. I put you into the time machine and I bring you back to the moment where you were thinking about jumping ship and starting your own, you know, company. You know, obviously what ended up becoming ICS Mobile. But let's say you're able to sit down with that younger Joe and you're able to give that younger Joe one piece of advice before launching a business. What would that be and why, given what you know now?
Given what I know now, you know, network earlier, you know, the idea that you cannot do it alone, you know, having a strong environment, a strong support, an amazing group of advisors as early as possible will make a huge difference. We were able to get there later on, but if I had had the network that I have now, you know, things would have accelerated at a much faster pace. So having a strong network of smart, you know, individuals who already had the experience that you need, you know, to scale your business is massively important. And it requires a lot of time and dedication to build that network. So focusing a lot of time into convincing, you know, industry leaders in the industry that I'm trying to get involved with to join our journey. So in doing that sales job actually has a multiplier effect over time. So that's really one thing that I would, tell myself. And now, also, yeah, embracing to not stressing as much, to embracing the downs, understanding that the lows are the greatest opportunity for growth. You know, if I had known that, you know, it would have, you know, I would have lived past 100 years old, past 100 probably. But having that knowledge that the stress is an opportunity, you know, embracing, there's a TED video that I highly recommend our listeners to go to called, you know, How to Make Stress Your Friend. You know, understanding that video will really teach you how seeing, observing stress as an ally have a multiplier effect on everything that you are attempting to accomplish. Stress is here to help us. It's not here to destroy us. It's here to really make us alert and actually also make us extremely creative. And on that front, PayWeGrow came from stress because we didn't have enough funding. We didn't raise enough, you know, and we need to find a way to bolster our growth. And that stress, that pressure, you know, led to PayWeGrow. That pressure, that stress also led to freeappaday.com. You know, that pressure and stress also led, you know, to Grow Credit and LendingBank, you know, and understanding that stress is actually your ally and setting up system to really manage stress effectively. In my case, working out a lot, running a lot, you know, meditating a lot and reading a lot, educating myself a lot. And, you know, so that's really the, you know, what I would teach my younger self.
I love it. So Joe, for the people that are listening, that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
They can go to LinkedIn, you know, at Joe Bayen. You know, I'm the only one on LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find there. You know, on Twitter as well, you know, on Instagram, same Joe Bayen. You know, we have a Medium where I have a lot of a post on culture, which has been a critical part of our, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but culture has been a critical part of our efforts, of our growth. And I have a lot of content, you know, talking, discussing our culture on Medium. And that's it.
Amazing. Well, hey, Joe, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an honor to have you with us.
Thank you.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts, or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.